Hello and welcome to World of Podcasts, a World of Warcraft podcast. And, you know, I really hate to say this, but this is the second time that this is being recorded. Last night, our friend Josh, known on the forums, that's good, I can fucking talk, huh? Known on the forums as Kyo Kenshin, and I, we did a fairly long recording, what was it, 3.5 hours, something like that?
Yeah, it was up there.
And we had some really good shit in there, actually. We had some funny shit. You know, make chokes on dick, stuff like that. And now nobody's going to know what that means. But, unfortunately, the program that was used to record it decided to just, I don't know, eat the file. Like,
Yeah, I don't know. It decided we were douchebags and didn't feel like making the wave.
There you go. It decided it fucking hated us and didn't make the goddamn thing. So now we're using a different program and we're hoping that this is going to work out okay. So anyway, Josh, welcome. Thanks for joining me.
No problem. Always talk about WoW.
Yep. And, you know, people might be asking, who's Josh? Why is Key on here? He recently transferred servers to my server and joined my guild.
That I did. It was an expensive endeavor, but it was worth it.
So, I know I asked you this last night, but we might as well let people know what's going on. How do you like the guild so far?
It's good. It's good. Lots of assholes. It's the crowd I enjoy.
Absolutely. And funny people. And perverted in some cases.
Yeah, well, we're sick fucks, so perverted is good.
Have you gone in and listened to some of those other voice chat things on Vent like I told you to do?
No, I thought about it today. I was just busy working on my expensive ass jewel crafting, so it wasn't much for me to talk about.
You should have. When Arbs, Pyra, and I don't remember the other guy's name are in the same room, it's funny. Like, after we got done recording last night, I went and did my dailies for the Netherwing. Mm-hmm. And, what happened? Oh, so the one dude, who I don't remember his name right now, was in a Warsong Gulch, and you just hear him over vent, like, what are you doing? Capture the flag! Capture! 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 You know, doing shit like that, and he's like, oh, look, a druid! Oh, bear form! Oh, no, you charged my immolate! You know, Shadow Bolt, 5k to the face, you know? He's just going off on shit like that. He's funny. I really do. Gyrus, I think, is his name. It's funny when he's going. When he starts going off on stuff like that, and him and Pyra and Arbs together, they just do shit like that all the time. And if you ever see them in a room together, you have to go in that room and just listen to the shit that they're talking about. I'm telling you. You will just sit there laughing. So, anyway, we're on Patch Show 6 because I actually wrote it on my notes today. So I would remember that it was Patch Show 6. And again, rare thing that I actually have notes. Because we all know I'm a dumb fuck and I just play it by ear and that's why my podcast sounds so fucked up.
Well, hopefully this one will sound a little more organized. Probably not, but...
Probably not, yeah. Hopefully we won't go off on quite as many tangents as we did last night, which is why it went to, like, 3.5 fucking hours.
Oh, yeah, we talked about stupid shit for a good hour and a half of that.
Talked about enchanting and how expensive it was. We talked about protection warriors, all sorts of stuff that we didn't need to talk about. So we'll try to keep the tangents to a minimum tonight. Especially because I have to give a shout-out to Kat Hunter, who I'm sure none of you know, but she wrote on my Facebook today, like, yo, where's the podcast? what was it? She's like, nobody else is podcasting about 2.4. Man up and get it up or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, is that the hot chick?
But yeah, that's the hot chick who works with some gaming organization out in San Francisco. So yeah, Kat, you're hot, all right? I said it.
And we know you from San Fran, so next
That's
time
about
in Cali,
it, yeah. I'm next time knock... we're out there, we're going to, like, pretend that we know you or something? No. I don't go to San Francisco. I've only been to L.A.
Yeah, I usually go to Huntington Beach to surf.
Oh, really? Well, that's right. You're all the way out there in Arizona. You can get there quick. It's like a 6-hour fucking flight for me.
Oh, yeah. It's only like a 5-hour drive.
which isn't too bad. If I were to drive out there, it'd be over 30 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'd usually just get trashed on a Friday and decide we're going surfing and drive out. That's so true.
So, overall, I think we're pretty happy with this patch.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot better than some of the previous patches. I mean, it's still got its quirks and things we don't like, but
you know,
it doesn't listen, so we're stuck with it.
Right, but after, you know, we're looking at our good versus bad in the notes, and we have way more good than bad.
Yeah, I was surprised at how it weighed out. Some of the bad things are so frustrating that I figured it. There were just so many more problems with the patch than we really tallied up.
Yeah, but when we actually sat down and like listed it, it's like, wow, there's only like two things.
Yeah. Yeah, so, one of them is fucking frustrating.
One of them's really frustrating. I'm actually going to add another one to the bad, so we'll have three, and that has to do with no repairs, and we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, as pretty much everybody who's been playing and not living under a rock should know, the Sunwell Isle, and you can say the name of it because I always fuck it up.
It's the Isle of Quel'Danas.
Which is where the Sunwell is located, has opened up. And so, you know, first thing in the good, new zone. So there's a brand new zone to go to. It's actually a pretty nice size, too.
Yeah, it's good size. The architecture is cool because it's the Blood Elf architecture. And mention of note, this is the first zone they've added that we didn't have to pay for. I think the only world expansions they've had previous were BC with Outland.
You know, I think you might be right. I mean, I remember they changed Silithus.
Yeah, Silithus used to be barren.
It was like half the zone was there. And they changed that, but I really wouldn't call that a new zone then, even though they did change it a lot. So I think you're right.
Yeah, and last patch, I mean, Dustwallow got some needed help, but Dustwallow's been there forever, too.
So. I really should take my, like, low levels through there, because I hear that the leveling through Dustwallow is just so much more fun now, because there's actually quests to do.
Yeah, that's what I hear, too. My druid is still back on Skywall, and it's, low 30s, so she's a little low to go out there still. And that's the highest alt I have that I haven't capped out yet, so...
Should just make a new one. I'll take my warrior or my priest through with you. Or actually, no, if you make a new one, my shaman can go with you.
Oh, yeah?
My shaman is only, like, fifth level.
Yeah, I'll probably make a new mage, and then I can take my priest and just blast us through dead mines at extremely low levels.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. Although we'd also have to hit, what the hell's it called? Ragefire. Not Ragefire. The Seattle one in the Barrens.
Why do I know? Oh, Wailing Caverns, yes.
Yeah,
oh,
it's got shaman gear.
My mage
gear.
Got badass shit in there.
Yeah, it's got shaman gear, too. So,
yep.
You know, and my little Samshock! That's my shaman's name. And I'm actually... Well, it is, I think, you know, because I'm so witty in that way. But I'm actually going to make a macro that every time I cast Frost Shock, he's going to go, Samshock! And I'm actually going to put like 5 O's in there for it. Like, you know what? Maybe I will make it zeros just to be elite speak.
Zeros for quality.
Yeah. So, anyway, like we're saying, we got a new zone. It's nice. It's always raining there. Have you noticed that?
I didn't notice. I don't know if I have weather effects on anymore or not. I got tired of not being able to see shit sometimes.
Mm, you know, but that was actually something that disappointed me with Outland, is they're really, you know, they added all the weather effects stuff in Vanilla WoW, and then, like, Outland, there's barely any weather effects ever. It's like a little bit of rain in Zangarmarsh, and that's it.
I have a feeling shattering your world takes a toll on your weather cycle.
Bullshit. I shatter worlds all the time. But, yeah, so it's a nice size. There's a shit ton of stuff to do that we haven't even opened, and that moves us into the new dailies.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
They're great.
And they actually put your daily limit up to 25 now. So that's good, because I think there's a total of 20 dailies between the ones in Outland for the Shattered Sun, and the ones up on the island. I think that's what my brother said when he was on the PTR.
Oh, nice. Plus there's, what, at least 12 old dailies?
Something like that. There's two for Skyguard in Skedas. There are two for Skyguard in Ogrela. Then there's two in Ogrela that you can do. Three in Ogrela, I'm sorry. So there's another five. So we're up to seven. And then there's like 11 Netherwing dailies.
Yeah, well, plus you've got the PvP daily, the cooking daily.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the only two newer ones they added.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So these new dailies are pretty neat too, because what you do with them is you actually sit there and as your server completes the dailies, like as people go and complete the dailies, it tallies up a percentage. And the basic gist is you start off with one building that's yours on the island. And as you do the dailies for it, you open up the next building. And then I think there's four phases, right?
Five.
Five phases, okay. So eventually we'll have basically the entire island, of the buildings on the island will be controlled by the Shattered Sun Offensive, which is the new faction that was introduced, which is actually a mixture of the Scryer and Aldor together.
Yeah.
So it works out pretty well.
Yeah, and note that this isn't the Scryer and Aldor going away. I know there's a lot of people on the forums are confused that, you know, what happens, the new neck pieces that they offer at Exalted give you a buff if you're Exalted with the Aldor or the Scryer. And a lot of people were saying, well, what happens if I'm not Exalted? I can't get Exalted now? They're not disappearing. It's just a force of troops that have gone out in a combined force between Aldor and Scryer to create a new faction.
There you go. Yeah, that's pretty good. Because I actually didn't know that the Epic Necklace thing was required Exalted with one of the other two factions. So that's a good addition.
You can get the necklace, but I believe there's a chance on hit and chance on cast for a buff, like a plus healing buff or whatever.
Interesting. Overall, the dailies are quick. I'm going to say that. Most of them. The only one that kind of gives me problems is that getting the mana remnants thing, because sometimes the drop rate is just so atrocious on them.
Yeah, so I usually don't have problems with that one, though. And even with the drop rate being pretty low, they die pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. I can two-shot them on my mage.
Yeah. Yeah, the only problem is everybody's out there right now, so they're hard to find sometimes.
Yeah, but they're on that dynamic spawning, so like if there's like 50 people out there killing them, they can repop fast, which can be bad as you killed a group of two or three, and then all of a sudden they all repop on top of you and you're not ready for it.
Yeah, that can cause troubles.
Mm-hmm. But the dailies, they're quick. You can... Our server actually opened up the second phase within 2 days. However, as you go through each phase, it takes longer and longer to actually get through each phase. Each daily counts for less... Each daily completed, I guess I should say, counts for less percentage points towards the overall goal.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you wanted to talk about the fishing daily.
Yeah, well, let's stick on the Sunwell a second. Blizzard's expecting that it takes about a month to fully unlock the isle, which shouldn't be too bad. Most servers are following suit with how long it took the PTR to do it.
Didn't they up that a little bit? Like, they added percentage points every couple days just to make sure?
I'm not sure if they did or not. I know it took about a day and a half for PTR to unlock it.
Okay.
And that's, I mean, basically everybody on PTR is in tier 6. And so they blast through the quests. A lot of them, know how to do things efficiently, and so things got done pretty quick.
That was sexy right there, wasn't it? First burp of the cast. Oh, yeah. I didn't have any burps last night, did I?
No, I don't think so. So I didn't get any of my full-on chubbies from your burps.
Yeah, see, now, you see, it wouldn't have been an actual podcast if I didn't burp. So maybe it's a good thing you lost the file. No, not really. But, and they did add another new daily that's right outside of Shattrath, which is a fishing daily. And unfortunately, my mage blows at fishing. I think she has like a 5, because I haven't spent the time. Now, my druid is up to like a 346. But I haven't played my druid forever. Yeah, I haven't played my druid forever.
If you level the fishing, you can get a lot of stuff out of this quest. They're all pretty easy. And they don't give any gold initially, but you receive a bag of fishing treasures, which generally contains anywhere from like 5 to 10 gold, and a gray, which I got an ancient coin last night that was vendored for 25 gold. If you get the Crocolis quest, you can get 4 different croc pets. You get Chuck's Bucket, Muck Breath's Bucket, Snarly's Bucket, or Toothy's Bucket, which are pretty cartoony Crocolisks. Small, run right by you like, you know, any non-combat pet. They're all different colors, so collecting all 4 will probably be a fisher's dream. You can get a recipe if you're a cook for Captain Rumsey's Lager, which is gets you drunk, and it adds +10 to fishing. You can get a spun true silver line that's very much like the high Eternium test. It adds +3 to your fishing pole permanently. I believe the Eternum line is +5, so it's a little bit less. They didn't completely make the STV tournament obsolete. You can get a weather-beaten hat, which is a fully upgrade from the Lucky Fishing Hat. It's +5 and +8 to fishing, 40 stamina, 40 spirit, and it's like Mirren's Drinking Hat, where on use you can add a +75 lure to it. And then you can also get some hooks, which are basically... aquadynamic fish attractors for free. And then the real gem of the fishing quest is the two ring, vastly superior to the one wing. One wing, yes.
The one wing. Oh, FUD, as he would say it.
Shh, I'm fishing. There's a... but the ring is epic, BOE... +22 to all stats, which is going to make it highly desired by hybrids. Druids, shamans, paladins are going to love this ring. And it's rare. I mean, the one ring itself, you know, auctions for anywhere from 100 to 200 gold just because of the rarity. And, you know, everybody likes having their little vanity things. But the two ring is going to be vanity and usefulness. It could very well be the most valuable traded item in Azeroth. I forgot to mention this last time, but you can also get a unique equipped blue gem called the Diamond of the Sea or something like that, and it's +15 stamina.
Hmm. Now, you do know that the One Ring is like the lowest level green out there, right?
Oh, is it?
It's like level 5 to equip.
Wow.
And, for those of you who don't know what the One Ring is, I don't remember where it drops. I think it's just a world drop.
That's fishing. Fish it up.
Oh, okay.
The tie-in is with Lord of the Rings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Gollum found it in the water, and so you fish it out.
Oh, okay, cool. And what it gives you is +1 to every stat. Now, there was an old 2 ring as well. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I always knew that it said not quite as good as the 2 ring, mm-hmm. but I'd never seen a 2 ring.
No, there was a 2 ring. And it was a slightly higher level, I think like level 7. And it was +2 to all stats, and it said slightly better than the One Ring.
Nice.
But now the new one, it's the 2 Ring, and it, like you said, it's epic level 70, and with the +22 to all stats, and its flavor text is vastly superior to the One Ring. So it's neat that they upgraded that. But yeah, I think I got to get myself some 25 gold coins. Because, you know,
I'm all about that. Yeah, that was very nice to run up to the vendor and go over my auto sell X or whatever and see that 25 gold pop up.
Always fun. So, overall, I'm pretty impressed with the new dailies, even though I can't fish on my mage. I guess we should talk about some of the other ones. Now, granted, there are the dailies that open up on the island, but then there are also other dailies that open up in Outland.
And yeah, they generally start in Shatrath.
So far, all of them have.
You've got a couple in Hellfire, right?
Oh, that's right. But you get the quest from the Shattered Sun Offensive to go to Hellfire through the portal.
Yeah, but after that...
after that, you have to go to Hellfire, that's true.
You have to go straight to Hellfire, yeah.
So, the ones in Shatrath, there's one dude over by the Flight Master near a bridge, the bridge between like the Scryer Bank and the Flight Master, and you go over and talk to him, and he gives you a pair of goggles. You go out to Negrand, you put the goggles on, and you can see these, like, they basically look like giant fireballs.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like Easter egg shaped glowing flame shield things.
Mm-hmm. You just walk up to them and you click on your goggles to use them, and you only need 6, and they respawn pretty quick, I noticed, because some dude hit one right before I did today. This was the first time I did it, which was today, and like as soon as it got done despawning, it repopped and I hit the next one. So
yeah.
As long as there's not too many people out there doing it, it should not be too hard. And they're all around Ashugan in Negrand.
Yep.
The next one is also by the Flight Master, but on the other side. He's kind of by the ramp that goes down to Lower City. Oh, pardon me. And you talk to him, and he wants Sun Fury plans. And he sends you out to Netherstorm. And basically, you can hit any of the mana forges where there are Sun Fury Blood Elves there, and you just start killing them, and eventually you'll get the Sun Fury plans.
Yeah, everybody seems to have their favorite spot for that. The best one I've found is actually to the southwest of Manaforge Benar. There are a lot of Blood Elf geologists back there that can drop them, and they die quick, and it's flooded with them, so you can go from mob to mob till you get it.
Okay, so basically anything that says Sun Fury, you can get it from. Any Blood Elf that says Sun Fury.
Any hostile Blood Elf in there.
Okay. That's not too bad. Although we did have Elle's problem where she just couldn't get it until she logged off and logged back on. And then she went over and looted the body, and there it was finally. And how long were we doing that? For like an hour?
Easily. We killed a lot of them.
We like destroyed every Sun Fury Blood Elf in Netherstorm, it seemed. Like 5 times over.
Oh yeah.
And then the third quest in Shattrath is by Adal, and he's where the badge vendor used to be. They moved the badge vendor up onto the balcony area. So people are like, where the fuck did he go? It's like, look up, dude. But and he sends you to Blade's Edge Mountains. And this is actually a pretty fun quest. You go out to Bashir's Landing. And you just start killing people until you get this little item. And what this item will do is this is especially good if you're in a group, too. Only one person in the group needs it. And when you use it, it creates a field around you, basically, that extends for quite a little bit, about 100 yards, maybe?
Yeah, about that.
And everyone in your party and their pets and everything else like that phase to a different reality type deal, like they're on a different dimension, and you'll see these mana worms, and what they're doing is they're guarding these little like energon cube looking things. You know, I'm waiting for Megatron to come up and fucking like, Gar! You know, but you kill them and you grab the energon cubes. You need 10 of them. They seem to respawn pretty quick. There's plenty in the area for like a small group. If there's a lot of people, I think they respawn quicker, though. And that's an easy quest, because all the mobs at Bashir's Landing, while you're phased, can't see you. And so they can't attack you.
There's phase worms out there, and that's it.
Right. Now, we did find out, because Josh went too far away from me when I had used the item, and suddenly he phased back in. So there is a range, and it's a range from whoever used the item when you're in a party. But I think it was around 100 yards, so it's not like you have to be like right next to the person the entire time. But didn't you use it a couple times to escape death, like you'd run back towards us?
Yeah, I'd run away and then run towards.
So, and then there is the Hellfire ones. And basically, you get the Hellfire ones initially because you have to do a quest to go there, and they send you through a portal. And then when you get there, there's the this magistrix, who is on a I don't even remember what they're called now. Those fucking mounts. The Dragonhawk. She's on a Dragonhawk, and she gives you 2 quests. One is you get this little item that looks like a burning pitch from BRD. and you click it, and you get this little pet that goes around with you. And there's a bunch of fire elementals up there. And what you do is you tag them. Actually, you don't even have to tag them.
I have to. I was on my warrior. I was just running around. If I'd see one in combat, charge it.
Mm-hmm. If a fire elemental dies near you while you have this pet out, it will become charged with energy. And eventually it gets up to unstable living flare, I think it's called. And you just take it into this portal, and it blows up the portal. What were you saying?
No, nothing. I was just saying it was bright green.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it goes from orange to bright green. And then the other quest is there's a whole bunch of demons there. Those wrath hunters or something like that. And you just go around killing them and you collect blood from them. And then there's these elite blood elves. And really, you don't want to get too close to these blood elves if you don't have this thing charged up. Because they hurt.
They don't hit you real hard. Not as hard as like a dungeon elite would or even a world elite. But they can kill you pretty quick.
Well, they have a ton of hit points. You can't kill them by yourself. I guess unless you can super kite them. But, I mean, I hit one for 4K crit, and it took off, like, less than 5% of its life.
Yeah, they definitely have some health on them. But if you're doing it as a group, you have to watch out, because we were doing it with four people, and we were ripping through them before
killing them before the thing happened. So what happens is you get this, I don't even know what the item is called anymore. It's like, she gives you this item, and you target one of these elites, and you use the item, and it drains their power. And then it just turns them into, like, these... I forget what they're called.
They're emancipated something.
Yeah, but the models are basically... have you played a Blood Elf yet?
Yeah.
You know those mobs that are around, like, the starting area?
Yeah. They're exactly like the ones that are in the Isle of Quel'Danas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But basically what happens is you use it on them. It drains them down to that, and you just have to kill four of them while they're in that state. And like we said, if you're in a group, watch out, because we were actually killing them before it was fully transforming them, and the problem with that is you waste the blood.
Yes, you do.
And, you know, I mean, these quests, for the most part, are pretty quick.
Yeah, they're really quick. I mean, all of them are, except for the traveling, but they give you less gold, so you're going to want to make sure to do your Ogrilla dailies and your Netherwing dailies still, and do those first so you can make sure to get the good gold out of your daily limit. And nobody's going to be over there because everybody wants to do the new ones.
God, yeah. I get my Ogrilla dailies done in like 10 minutes, dude.
Oh, yeah, it's so much easier now. I used to hate doing them. I hated bombing runs because people would fly by and I'd get hit with their bombs. I hated killing demons because I had to search for them. I think the only one I ever did was the Aether Rays and the Simon Says one.
Aether Rays is always the one I had the problem with because you'd always see people, like, they'd tag something real quick just to get it for them.
Because, oh, yeah, see, I play a hunter, though, so I could track them and tag them.
Right, see, now, when they first brought it out, you didn't even have to tag the mob to be able to wrangle it.
Yeah, that was a pain.
Yeah. But also, speaking of Netherwing Daily, since you brought it up, they did change two of them. If you remember the Netherwing Crystals, which is like the very first daily you get there, actually, you used to have to get 40 of them. Now you only need 30, so that's pretty good. Because there are times when their drop rate kind of sucks, and I've noticed that if you're on the quest, the drop rate is when it sucks.
Oh, yeah.
But... when you're not on the quest and you're just going down there like farming stuff, because I've gone down there and farmed up like 300 of them in a night, and I'm like, okay. And then I run out finally and I go down and try to farm them up when I'm on the quest, and it takes me like 6 years. I'm like, what the fuck? But also, the dragons are the least of our worries quest, which you get inside the mine after you hit friendly. Yeah, friendly. You have to kill 15 Nethermind Flayers and 5 Ravagers. Initially, and for the longest time since this quest came out, there were like maybe 10 Ravagers in the entire mine. And so everybody and their grandmother was like trying to tag them first so that they got the kill. Especially, you know, you went down there when there were like 30 people there, and you could never find them. Because they had a shit respawn, everything else like that. There are now tons of them down there. They added a whole bunch of Ravagers basically standing next to flares. So if you hit one, you'll often pull the other one at the same time. But it makes that quest go so much faster, and the only downside I've had to this is I sell less grades when I leave the mine. But, you know, it evens out because I get the quest done faster, I keep my gold per hour pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling Josh earlier, I did 15 dailies this morning. When I got done doing all 15 dailies and I logged out, I had earned profit 179 gold. And my gold per hour was 79 gold per hour, according to MoneyFoo. So,
quick and easy.
Yeah, quick and easy. Okay, fine. So it was like 3 hours that it took me to do it. But that's because there was a lot of traveling for some of them. And that's
yeah,
it.
And if you do it right, you can knock them all out pretty quick, especially if you have an epic mount. I usually hit in the grand first and hearth back. And then in the time it takes me for my hearth to cool down, I can fly to Hellfire, complete that one. If you have an epic mount, you can just fly over the gap to Blade to Netherstorm, do that one, fly over to Blade's Edge, do that one, and then hearth back.
That's actually how I did it today. Instead of like the dumbass way we did it yesterday, well, let's go to Blade's Edge first because I have the item, because I was a dumbass. I just did that. I flew right over to Netherstorm, and then, well, actually, no, I didn't fly. That's right, because my hearth is actually set to Area 52 because I'm a mage. And I can do shit like that. So I just hearthed, went over to the Manaforge right there, right by Area 52, and just, it took me like 10 kills, but I got it. And then I flew over to Blade's Edge, and then I teleported back. You know, this stuff is, they're nice, quick, and easy dailies. Granted, yes, they're not worth as much. Most of them right now are 9 gold, 10 silver. Some of them are 10 gold, 10 silver. But for the ones that are in Outland, we can also get the Shattered Sun Supply Bag or something like that. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Shattered Sun Supplies.
And these are great. Well, not for me, but for other people, they've been great. Basically, it's a bag. Okay, you open it, and normally there's a green in there. But there's a small chance that you will get a Badge of Justice out of it as well.
Yeah, and there's 6 quests, I believe, that you can do once everything's all said and done. Once you have the Isle, there should be 6 you can do. And that's a possible 6 badges a day that you can get.
Mm-hmm. It's a chance for 6 badges a day, we'll put it that way. And so we basically look at them, you know, don't expect a badge, but when you do get a badge, look at it as, I just got a free badge. I didn't have to do jack shit. I didn't have to run a heroic. I didn't have to run Karazhan or Zul'aman or the 25-man bosses, which we'll get into. You know, I mean, it for a daily, you get a badge. I'll do it.
Oh, definitely.
So, oh, and I guess we should mention that there's new badge loot, obviously.
Yep. Granted, won't show up for Phase 5.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm going to say this. Granted, I've looked at some of the loot. Some of the loot's pretty crappy. Even though it's like tier 5-ish, tier 6-ish quality as far as their item level.
Tier 6 item level, yeah.
They're not, most of them are not optimized in a way that you really, really want them to be. So, although I will say this, the caster ring is sexy, and I'm gonna get it. Oh, it's so sexy.
Oh, the hunter gear is awesome too. It's finally got agility on it, which made me a happy panda.
Yeah, I think, like, the warrior gear is not that great, right? Like, the protection warrior gear?
I'm not sure. I haven't really looked at it. I took a look at the gear when it was on PTR, and at the time, my hunter was still my main, so that's what I looked for.
Well, let's just put it this way. There's a possibility that some of the gear might not be optimized the way you'd like it. Like, I know the spell damage dagger that you can buy there. It's not, you know, you look at the damage and it's like 303 damage or some shit like that. It's like some ungodly amount of damage on this weapon. But then all it has is like stamina It doesn't have any spell hit, nothing like that. So you're like, I don't know. Like, really? Is it really an upgrade? So you're going to have to look at things like that. Hmm?
Think about it this way. They're taking away attunements as things become more obsolete. Not obsolete, but as the servers, you know, break through SSC and TK are more on farm now. Attunements got taken away. Black Temple, a lot of people have it on farm now. Attunements get taken away. All the gear's been given out, just like they did before BC. So having stamina on your gear isn't going to be too bad, because when you're going to start leveling again and not raiding, you're going to want the stamina. So.
Yeah, but the raid items and the PvP items have that same type of stamina, too. They might just not have as much damage, but they'll have, like, the spell hit or the spell crit or stuff like that. Although, I guess when you're leveling, you don't really need spell hit as much. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I just have a feeling they'll benefit you as a decent upgrade for raiding, and then when you start leveling, you'll have some good stam to run off of as well. Won't need to hit and crit as much. You're just going to be, killing mobs and going along your way.
Right. And I'm going to mention this, but we're going to get to it later. Also on the island is a new 5-man instance as well as a new 25-man raid, but we'll get into that in a few minutes. Up next on our good, there were actually some good UI improvements. Shock above shocks. Blizzard actually did UI improvements that were good.
Yeah. Some of them worked out pretty well. Some of them didn't, but...
Yeah, some of them didn't, but overall, they've been pretty good. First one I have listed, friends lists. People on your friends list, you can put notes on your friends list now, for example, about like who they are or something like that. But also, if you have your nameplate showing for friendly people, they'll show up as a different color. So if they're flagged PvE... they'll show up, instead of blue, they'll show up like a brighter teal, so you can see them. I'm not sure what color they'll be if they're PvP flagged, though. We can click quests in chat now.
Oh, and they're links. They're not some text that people apparently can't read in their quest log.
Mm-hmm.
The links will tell you, you are on this fucking quest, as you retard.
This is actually probably one of the best features. When I first did it, because when they mentioned it, I'm like, what are you talking about? You can always shift-click your quests into the chat log. But now, instead of showing up as, like, 70 dungeon, or 70D, or whatever your quest add-on showed it as, if it even showed that, and the quest name, it actually just pops up the quest name, and it's a clickable link, and then it shows up in basically the item thing that you can click on. What shows up when you click on an item in chat, it basically shows up as that, and it tells you what you have to do for the quest, and as Josh mentioned, if you're on it. It's wonderful. I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm in love with it. Like, leveling an alt is going to be so much easier now. Get a group for a quest, and people know they're on it when they click it in, general chat in the zone, and we go on and do it.
Mm-hmm. Along with that, also now spells are clickable in chat, and as you mentioned last night, this is probably in preparation for Wrath of the Lich King when we have Inscription.
Yep. I have a very strong feeling that's why they did it.
And it's a very logical feeling. How about the new options menus?
They're nice. The old one wasn't bad, but it wasn't a great UI.
It was kind of confusing at times.
Yeah, there are only two categories. Things that didn't really fit in either were tough to find. But this one, now, when you open it up, it's like a web page or a lot of Ace 2 mods. It shows all your different categories on the left. You've got add-ons options now that will pop up in there if your add-on supports it. Like right now, the only add-on I have that supports it is scrolling combat text.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, really?
You can choose all... Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. See, I haven't really fucked around with them too much. So, the only one I've looked at is the combat log options, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, but I mean, now on the left, you've got controls, combat, display, quests. You click on all that, and it'll give you all the options on the right for that category. It's broken down very nice now. It works well.
Much more user-friendly, you'd say?
very, very much. Okay. They didn't add any new options, I don't believe, but things are organized a lot better.
So they're just easier to find. Because I know one of the ones that I used to hate looking for was Profanity Filter or Instant Quest Text.
Oh, yeah.
Both of those were really hard to find because, you know, early on they were on, like, the main part, and then later on one of them got moved to the advanced options or some shit like that. It's like, wait, where'd it go? Come back. How about now? We can now inspect the opposing faction so long as they are not flagged for PvP.
That one's really cool. I've always enjoyed inspecting other hunters' gear, checking out their specs and things. And with Horde, I used to just have to play my little game called Guess the Gear. And now I can go through and actually look at it and see what they have and see their perspective on the class. And it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Again, they cannot be flagged PvP for you to inspect them. So
yeah.
That's the only caveat. Well, whatever.
I believe if they're in chat, in a sanctuary of some sort, you can still inspect them.
I don't think... I think you have to wait till their PvP flag flags off, though. But it will flag
off
there.
Yeah, you might have.
It will flag off there, because when we play on Daramir, which is a PvP server, when you go to Shattrath, your PvP flag drops in 5 minutes, so...
Yeah.
GM messages, when they actually message you, when they actually get back to you about something... You know, 5 years after you've posted your ticket, they'll actually have a little Blizzard icon next to their name so that you actually know that they're a real GM and not like those people. Like, remember I was telling you last night, the dude, sorry, that password didn't work. Can you please give me the right password? Oh, God, I wish I knew where those screenshots were, dude. I would so show you them because you'd laugh your ass off.
Well, I'm sure they're up on WoW Bash.
It's possible. All the chat screens. It's quite possible. Those were funny screenshots. Now with the BOP items. When you have a BOP item and you try to loot it and you're in a group, it actually shows you the name in the confirmation box so you know you're picking up the right thing.
Yeah, that's a great help, especially for master looting. I mean, mm-hmm. We were discussing all our master loot follies last night, and there's been some nice items mislooted, and generally Blizzard won't help you with that.
That's true. They won't, actually. They'll say that that's a player error, and that's not on Blizzard to have to fix.
Yep. So now your master looter knows exactly what item they're looting, which won't always help keep them from looting it to the wrong person, but it'll help a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just do the quick story of mine where we were in ZG... Phinoxus dropped his melee cloak, and I was supposed to give it to a rogue. And the rogue and the mage, their names were right on top of each other in the confirmation box, or in the group 2 thing or whatever. And my hand slipped, and I accidentally gave the... what's his face? The melee cloak to the mage. And you should have just heard me screaming on my end. I'm like, fuck, how did I do that? You know. But this will hopefully reduce that problem. Now, however, when you're solo, or if there's a BOP item that only you can pick up, which would be like a badge of justice, or say a pattern that you're the only person in the group that can loot, there will be no confirmation box to pick them up. Which actually just speeds up looting in that case.
Yeah, it's nice.
Speaking of Master Looter, now everyone can see all the items on a boss, even when Master Looter is on. And this, I think, was mainly to show... pardon me, to let everybody know if there was a bind-on-pickup pattern in there. Because they changed it at one point so that the Master Looter could see it, so that he could give it away. But the other people still couldn't see it. Now everybody can see everything. Of course, only the Master Looter can still give it out. And they did something with the particle effects to improve frame rates a little bit.
Yeah, that's a pretty noticeable difference. Nothing huge, but it helps.
Well, it's not extremely noticeable on my computer, but yeah. Although I have noticed that I can actually see through the water now. Whereas before, water used to be like a solid thing that I couldn't see through. Now I can see through it somewhat.
so I guess that's pretty good. Some guild bank changes. They listed these as UI changes, but I really feel that we should mention guild bank separately because it's not part of your base UI for most people. You can now set it up so that people can pull out repair money from the guild bank without actually being able to remove other money as well. So that's kind of cool. There's now information tabs on all guild bank tabs so that you can put in, like, this is where you put this, this is where you put that, or we need this, or we need that, that sort of stuff. And here's the big one, which I think is well overdue, is when you buy a new guild bank tab, the money will come from the guild bank first before it comes from the guild leader's bank account, or money in their bags.
Which, now, that'll be a very nice improvement.
Oh, it is, because, I mean, you figure a lot of guilds donate money to the guild bank just to buy the tabs, and then they wonder where that money went sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it could cause a lot of trust issues.
Mm-hmm. Especially because the tabs, like, it's like 1 gold, then 100 gold, then 500 gold, then 1,000 gold, you know, shit like that.
Oh, yeah, they're very expensive, so it's a lot of gold that shows up missing.
Mm-hmm.
Also of note, they added guild banks to Area 52.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I was just in there. I didn't even notice. That shows how much I look around when I'm in Area 52. I run down the center to the banker, I turn around, and I run out.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not going to provide a whole lot of use, but if people are out in Tempest Keep doing the raid, they can, you know, run out of pots, drop out, hit the guild banker quick, and come right back in.
Not bad, then. Not bad at all. Also, you know what? I forgot, this is an improvement. It's not a UI improvement, but it is an improvement. Warlocks can now summon people back into instances.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
So, especially if, like, somebody drops and you have to replace them.
Yeah. That's nice, and then also, for the new Magister's Terrace dungeon, it's really nice, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah. So we're gonna move on to our raids and dungeon good. All 25-man raid bosses now drop more money, and it's apparently a huge amount of money they drop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Easily quadrupled.
My brother's guild, I think they killed Solarian, and it came out to, like, 20 gold a person.
It's what, yeah, I used to get 3 to 4, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Killing Solarian and Alar, and then 20 gold is a huge increase.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, if you're farming certain 25-man raid bosses, you basically will get your repair bill on the first boss kill.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, so now for raiding guilds, there's no excuse to say, well, we don't have time to make money. You know?
Yeah, raiding will... If you're not potting up, if it comes down to repairs, you'll come out on top. If you kill 3 bosses in Tempest Keep, you've made 60 gold. That's generally your repair plus 20 to 30 gold.
Mm-hmm. So it generally is just going to make raiding profitable, basically. It actually, you know what? It brings it back to the old Blackwing Lair days. Because Molten Core drops shit for gold. Everyone loved running Blackwing Lair for gold because the mobs drop so much gold. Then AQ40 came out and it was like, oh, where's the fuck's the gold? And Naxx, I think they, again, upped the gold a little bit. So, but it brings it back to that, so it's good. Raiding should... I'm not saying that raiding should always be profitable, but you should never feel like you go into a raid and kill every boss and still lose money.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think part of the problem comes from the fact that Old World raids used to be able to sell off things. All the fiery and lava cores you could sell off for very good money.
The Corehound leather.
The core leather, yeah. The Elementium ore you could sell off if you felt so inclined. And so with the new raids, all you get is the vortexes that you can't sell, which you can, I mean, you can now. And then the patterns that weren't really all that valuable, maybe 200 gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's definitely become more profitable now.
Yeah. All 25-man raid bosses with tier tokens now drop another token. I don't think they did it for Kara, though, right? Because they did that earlier. When Kara first came out, they only dropped one token. Now they dropped two. I don't think they're doing that for Kara.
No, they. It should be a couple tokens per 25-man boss, and then you 22 or 23 out of Kara.
Okay. They now say there are badges on all raid bosses who did not have them before. However, we are not sure about the animal bosses in Karazhan. I guess we could find out Friday.
Yeah, we'll find out, and I'll post it on the forums, let everybody know.
Yeah, basically what this means is after one of our guild's full clears of Kara, we're going to say, let's go do the animal boss just to see if it drops a badge. Because supposedly it's supposed to.
Yeah, and, that'll give you a good reason to go do the animal boss and possibly some decent loot for somebody. I mean, an epic.
It really depends. Because they're all random enchant loot that drops off of those bosses, so.
Yeah, but I mean, if you get Mail of the Bandit and you've got a Hunter alt, that's a decent piece of loot for you.
That's true. That's true. But I think they're still bind on pickup, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I don't run Kara with mains anymore.
That's true. I do, but that's just because I suck. Doomlord Kazak and Doomwalker, all their loot is now bind on equip.
Yes, yeah, BOE. That'll be nice for the casual players that can't really get into raids. And even for the raiders, the world bosses are generally, top 2-3 guilds on the server. The only ones killing them because they beat you to the punch. Now it'll still be the top 2-3 guilds and possibly only the top guild on your server because everybody wants the cash. But it'll be good for the people who don't have access to those items. They can buy them for obscene amounts of money. Assuming anybody can ever kill Kazak again.
Yeah, because one of the problems with the daily quest, and this isn't a bad thing, it's just an interesting thing, is the area...
I find it hilarious.
Huh?
I find it hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, so have I. Especially when I was up there and he came down and killed like 30 people. I was like, yeah, it's a good thing I'm out of range of a Shadow Bolt.
Oh, my new hobby is going to be running around the Shadow Protection pots, kiting Kazak into a mob of people, and running and feigning death.
Okay. You heard it here first. When you get banned, you know why. but basically, the area where you do those two daily quests in Hellfire is the Throne of Kil'jaeden, which means Lord Kazak can pop up, and he did pop up basically almost on top of my brother at one point. And he's still there right now. But for anyone who never fought Kazak when he was in the old world or hasn't fought Doomlord Kazak, which is like, hi, I'm upgraded to level 70, he's probably going to be in like Wrath of the Lich King 2. I am Super Doomlord Kazak now. Like some weird shit like that. He's going to be the boss that just goes with every expansion.
Oh, yeah. Crawl will be an outland and still obsolete. Mm-hmm. And place your bets now on who's going to replace Crawl.
Yeah. But basically what happens is when you're fighting Doomlord Kazak, he has an AoE Shadow Bolt. And every time he kills someone with either that or just killing them with his melee attacks, he gets back 5% of his life, something like that?
Something. It's a pretty big chunk.
So the big problem is going to be you can't really fight Kazak where he spawns, where he stands. You have to move him. Well, the problem's going to be when all those people are there doing their daily quests, if they're in range of his Shadow Bolts, he's never going to die. Because he'll kill like 40 people at one time and just be back up to 100% health.
Yeah, it'll be High Lord Cruel in Stormwind all over again.
Mm-hmm. So just watch out for that when you're up there. We got a couple for Heroic Caverns of Time instances. Heroic Black Morass, the Keepers, the Rift Keepers, and the Rift Lords have had their hit points reduced again. I'm not going to say this is a bad thing. I'm saying this is a good thing because I fucking hate Heroic Black Morass.
Oh, everybody does.
It's like, it's just disgustingly, not that it's too hard, it's just that you end up getting to a point where you start falling behind a little bit, because by the time you get down like the 9th or 10th Rift Lord, the next one has spawned, or the portal has spawned and shit's coming out and you don't have any mana and people need to heal up and you're just like, fuck. And it can get that way with undergeared people in regular Black Morass, too, but it's really bad in Heroic. And then, you know, maybe now I'll start running Heroic Dernhold again, because all those fucking lookouts are gone.
Those things were a pain. They would, you know, spawn on top of you mid-boss fight, and it was just terrible.
Didn't you say your very first Heroic was Heroic Dernhold?
Yes, and it was a 5-hour Dernhold.
5 hours for Dernhold. Now look, even when I did my first regular Dernhold, it didn't take us 5 hours to get through it. It did take almost 2, but that's because none of us had ever done it.
Well, and keep in mind, this was very early on. I mean, I got my Heroic key and decided to do it, so I was undergeared for the instance. But yeah, it was just a pain all around.
So, the lookouts are gone. I'm writing something real quick for another bad. Let's see. Magtheridon changes. Praise God. Maybe now people will actually do them again?
Oh, I really hope so. I mean, a 20 slot bag you get off of him now, very similar to Oni Bag, and with the gold increase, he's no longer a useless boss. Mm-hmm. Nobody.
And he'll drop a third token.
Yeah.
For your tier 4 chests. The changes are basically when you got the adds before him. Instead of them dropping 2 Infernals, they're each only going to drop 1, which means you should be able to get that shit down a hell of a lot faster and get people into position for clicking the cubes. And now you only need 1 person to click each cube. Apparently, yeah, the debuff's going to fade faster?
Yeah, the mental exhaustion should be a shorter duration. So you only need 1 per cube.
So that should hopefully make Magtheridon worth running, and I need to run him because I finally finished all my heroics for my Champion of the Naru quest. I just finished, I had finished Steam Vaults earlier, and I had finished Shattered Halls earlier too, like about a month ago. But I just finally today finished Heroic Architraz and kept the little dude alive. So now I am all set. All I need now are my items from Gruul, because I already have my item from Nightbane, and my item from Magtheridon, and I'm done. And I get my Champion of Naru title, and I can feel like I'm cool or something.
Very nice.
Because I have a title in a video game. That makes me cool, man. Am I a geek or what?
Oh, we all are. What can you do?
Yeah, that's true. Here's a big one. I love this change. Heroic gems are no longer unique equipped.
Yeah, that's a great one. They were pretty useless before. You get one decent gem that, and as hybrid gems, a lot of people stack straight gems for the pure stat increase.
So most of mine are hybrid gems, like the mixed gems, the orange, the green, and the purple. A lot of mine are that because I like getting the stamina and or the hit and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, some classes will use hybrids more. I know a lot of. I should just say a lot of min-maxers will go for pure stats and get their hit elsewhere. It's going to be a nice change. I'll definitely be using them on my warrior, a couple on my hunter. Mm-hmm. It should be great.
Oh, there's that awesome caster one that drops in Heroic Mech that's like +6 spell damage, +5 spell hit. If you're not hit capped, it's an orange color gem. Just use that. They're great. I mean, you're getting a decent amount of damage and a decent amount of spell hit. You're not going wrong there. This one will help druid tanks mainly, but now ghosts and mechanicals can be bled in instances.
Yeah, that'll be a big help. I believe it's Lacerate, mm-hmm. that is the Thunder Armor, which is a bleed, so it was pretty harsh for them on some of the mobs in Tempest Keep, the big robots. A lot of Kara was a little difficult for him to tank.
Well, you know what? They changed it to the problem was when it first came out, Lacerate, because it couldn't bleed them at all, it didn't generate any threat. They were basically just immune to it. Then they changed it so it would still generate the threat. Now they're actually going to change it so it actually bleeds them as well. So again, it's just a help for druid tanks, mainly. But it also means that now rogues can garrote them, or rupture them, that sort of stuff.
Cat druids can do their bleeds. Really use rip.
Yeah, rip and I don't remember the other one right now. God, it's been so long since I played my druid. So.
And, oh, another change that we should mention is elementals are no longer naturally immune to poisons.
Right, right. So rogues and them can actually poison them.
Yep, rogues and poison. Things like Hydros that are naturally nature immune or have extremely high resists to nature will still be immune to nature-based poisons. But elementals in general. I know on my hunter when I was low level, you know, I'd use Serpent Sting for a little extra damage. Big mistake. New hunters do that. It's a waste of mana. But all the elementals are immune to it. It's kind of annoying, especially, you know, if you do have elementals in a dungeon, Serpent Sting or Scorpid Sting is great for tank mitigation, you know. It's like 5% miss rate added to them. So it was a good help, but if they're immune to it, I just couldn't do it. So that reduced my usefulness a bit.
Yeah.
So nice elementals can be stung and poisoned now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know why I didn't add that into my notes, so that's a good addition there. Moving on to quests, not daily quests, we've already talked about them. The dungeon and group quest XP has been increased in Outland, and I'm assuming this is kind of like what they did in 2.3 for the lower level stuff. For, if you remember, one of the big things was your group quests, your elite quests out in the old world, and your old world dungeon quests suddenly gave a hell of a lot more experience. And I think this is to help alts and newer players actually be able to get groups to do this shit, because now they'll actually be worth it.
Yeah, definitely. It's just for the dungeons and group quests.
Mm-hmm. It's not for everything. It's just the ones that say group, which are elite quests, or that actually send you into a dungeon.
Yeah, and it'll be a great benefit, because I know a lot of people always wanted to do them anyways for the gear, but if it didn't offer gear you wanted, a lot of people would just pass them up. Now there'll be a good XP generator.
Mm-hmm.
So.
There's also now a quest where you turn in one mark of honor from each battleground and you get a little extra honor. Didn't you say it was like 300 extra honor or something like that?
314, I believe, 315. And it's not a daily, it's just straight repeatable. The first one should give you the honor plus 12 gold. And then...
then it's just the honor?
After that, it's honor. So the first day, you can pull out like a lot of honor. If you've got 100 of every battleground mark... You're gonna pull, what, about 3,000? 3,000-4,000 honor out of it.
Now, you see, I would go do this, but I've never been in Eye of the Storm, so I don't have the Eye of the Storm marks to do it. I had... you know what? I actually destroyed all my Alterac Valley and Warsong Gulch and that Wrathy Basin marks of honor, because they were just taking up bank space. So never mind. I won't do it. And now, the biggest quest change. And this has got to be the best change in the game ever, I think. Wouldn't you happen to agree?
Yeah. It's up there.
Old Blanchy's feed pouch is now an 8-slot bag. That is so fucking awesome right there. Best change ever.
Definitely. I mean, adding BWL was cool. The expansion was nice. But 8-slot Banshees? I'm there.
I am so there. Do you realize I have... completed that quest on exactly one character ever?
Yeah, I think I did it on my first one.
I did it on my mage, I think, and that was it. And I just never did it on any other characters, you know. But now I have a reason to go back and do this quest. An 8-slot bag. I've been running around with 4-slot bags on all my tunes for I don't know how long.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be nice. I know some tailors, they make me 18-slot bags, and I can now go get an 8-slot.
Exactly. You know, I can make the 20-slot bags. I'm lying. My mage actually has all 20-slot. But, you know, I am so there. I am so going to go do that. Best change ever. Actually, this next change is actually almost as good. And that is, if you have abilities like Cleave, Multishot, Chain Lightning... if there are little, like, what do they call them? Ambient critters, little level 1 critters running around. They'll no longer be chosen as a target for those.
Yeah, that's a great change. My multi-shot always used to... In Shattered Halls, that one hallway before the 7 pool has like 18 fucking cockroaches in there. 99% of the time, my multi-shot was hitting 2 of them and the one mob I was targeting, which is like, you know, 4K damage just wasted.
Yep. Again, not quite as good as old Blanchie's feed pouch, but it's up there.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Even though neither of us really do a lot of PvP, we're going to talk about a little bit of these PvP changes. Diminishing returns for honor is now gone.
Yeah, that's a good one. Farming honor, like, I hate PvP so much I just won't even farm honor. Partly because I like instant satisfaction like every good American does. And
damn straight, if we don't get it right away, we don't want it.
Waiting a day was too long, especially when I only needed, you know, say I was 100 honor short, I had to wait. It used to be I had to wait a week for it. Now I only have to wait a day. But it's still annoying. I just want to be able to go in, kill a few guys, and get my item. So it'll work out well. There's still... You could call it DR. After 50, you're cut off. If they die 50 times in the battleground, they no longer give you honor.
For just that battleground, it says.
Yeah. But, you know, if that happens, make sure to get in the battleground with them again, because they're terrible. And you're going to kill them a lot.
Because they suck so bad. And going along with that, now that diminishing returns is gone, since they no longer have to calculate the diminishing returns into the honor, your honor is kind of like gold. It's now, as soon as you get it, it's there for you to spend.
Yeah.
So those two are pretty well linked. And there were also AV changes. I'm going to scratch my ear real quick because I just did. First off, Belinda actually got a slight buff. She can no longer be interrupted or silenced.
Yeah, and her damage got boosted. I believe her health got dropped a little bit, though.
Yeah, well, what happened was because the Horde were starting closer to the Alliance base, they upped her health points and they upped Van's hit points because, you know, if there was no defense, you could just run through them otherwise. Although, if you actually listen to some of the Horde, they don't like the fact that you can't interrupt her now. Or actually, no, I'm sorry. They do like the fact that you can't interrupt her, because if you interrupted her, she'd smack you with her staff, and supposedly she did way more damage smacking you with her staff than she did with her spells.
Yeah.
So, whatever. The other changes, major changes, burning the towers are much more important. If you do not burn the towers, for every War Master in the room with the general, you end up with a stacking plus 25% health and damage bonus to the boss and to each of the War Masters.
Yeah. If you don't do the towers, they're going to be pretty unkillable.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're doing 200% damage and have 200% life. Yeah, good luck there. Also, the Horde starting area has been moved back, and I'm not exactly sure to where, but it's closer to Frostwolf Graveyard. So, now, the theory is that you should meet up in the Field of Strife, probably right by, what is it, Snowfall? Is that the neutral graveyard?
Snowfall or Iceblood?
No, Iceblood is Horde. Because it's,
okay.
Because it's Iceblood Tower where Galv is. So, it must be Snowfall. So, the idea is you should be meeting there and fighting there. Well, okay, great, because now with no diminishing returns, you don't really have a reason to just bypass each other. You should attack each other.
Yeah, I think it'll create a much more PvP-based battleground. That one used to be purely PvE. You race to the War Masters, and whoever could kill the boss the fastest won.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's definitely going to be a lot... I think the games will last a lot longer now. It's going to be a lot of fighting in the middle, and I think it's going to be pushing Horde back and back and back until you reach their boss, and then it'll be a turtle fest.
Yeah, but at least in this case, see, the big problem that I always have with AV, especially after they changed it in 2.3, was the Horde start like one-third closer to, or one third up the map than the Alliance did. The Alliance started at the very far north, and the Horde were like almost in the middle of the map, almost. You know, they're almost in the middle of the map, almost. Way to say the same word twice, Sam. But basically, they got the Stonehearth bunker for free. They could capture it before you even got there, as Alliance. And I never felt that that was quite fair. And nobody really cared under the old AV rules, because who cares if you lost the bunker? It was, you know, they just got a little bit of honor, whatever. And who cares if they killed Belinda, because they just got a little bit of honor, big fucking deal. But with the reinforcement changes, you know, if they take Stonehearth bunker and go kill Belinda, you're down 150 reinforcements.
Yeah.
You know, and if they play the Iceblood choke point, then it's a war of attrition there. And in a war of attrition, when you're down almost one third of your reinforcements, you're going to lose. So hopefully the change there will make it more even. I'm really hoping for a much more 50-50 ratio to wins to losses. I mean, I didn't exactly like it when I was winning 90% of my ABs, but, you know, at least I could get honor that way when I did PvP. But I really feel that AV should be a much more balanced, or I'm hoping, I should say, that it's much more balanced now.
Yeah, from what I've been hearing, it's pretty close to a 50-50 win loss. So.
Which is good. That's where it should be. Now I wish they'd just fix the slight things that need to be fixed with Arathi Basin, like the power triangle, and, you know, then we'd be all set. Because, you know, you can't really complain too much about Warsong. It's a goddamn mirrored battleground. It really is. They've pretty much fixed all the exploits that Horde used to have, like jumping over their fence before the thing started, or running up the wall to their graveyard, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, they're wall climbing with this patch completely now.
Yeah.
So they say.
So supposedly. But AV was, you know, for the longest time, you went to AV as Alliance to get honor, and you went to the others just to get the marks.
Because yeah, you knew you were going to lose 30 in a row and get your marks.
Right. Oh, and the other big PvP change. For, I don't think it's for Alterac Valley, even though they did add back in join as group for Alterac Valley, which will be a big thing. I don't think this goes for that. However, if you are playing Arathi Basin, Warsong Gulch, or Eye of the Storm, if you are in a full pre-made group, all 10 or 15 people, whichever the battleground supports, you are only going to fight other pre-made groups.
Yep.
And if you are queuing up solo, you're only going to fight other pickup groups, which might have like a 5-person group or something like that. I think it only really counts for the full groups, because that's technically what a full pre-made is.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but now, it'll get some of the getting rolled as a pug.
Right, right. Now, granted, there have been a lot of complaints on the forums from a lot of these pre-made people. Oh my god, our queue times are so long now. I can't steamroll pickup groups for easy honor. Because you do know what they used to do when they were in pickup group, or when they were looking for pickup groups, right?
They would leave the battleground early, wouldn't they? Send one in?
Send one in. Especially if the queues were instant. Send one in. He'd look at the other side. If they didn't, if it looked like a pickup group, the other 9 or 14 would show up immediately. And if it did look like another pre-made, he would just join the other queue that just popped. And then they'd re-queue outside for the other battleground again. And they'd just keep doing it until they got a pickup group, because they didn't want to fight other pre-mades. They just wanted to get their honor as fast as possible. And now they can't do that. And those are the types of pre-mades that are bitching and complaining about this. So I don't want to wait a half hour to get into a match. Well, fuck you. Fucking fuck. That's the fuckiest fuck that ever fucked. You know.
Yeah, they're gonna have trouble now, especially if, you know, if they're used to fighting pugs.
Oh, hold on, hold on, have hold on, hold on.
All right, so we actually had to stop recording there because my computer gave me a message saying I'm not fast enough. But I think we pretty much got what we wanted to say about the PvP there. So we'll just move on to quick things for professions. Smelting for miners should allow for more skill ups for a longer period of time. You said you noticed this slightly on yours, but because of where you were in mining, it was already a little too far?
Well, that's what I initially thought. I leveled mining some more today. I learned my thorium smelting, and it was green when I got it. Which, before, once you crossed 165, everything was gray. You could never learn off of smelting again. So that changed. When I got into Outlands and picked up fell iron smelting, it was yellow, and it went green within 5 points, but, I mean, for mining, 5 to 10 free points is a big help, especially with the amount of ore you get. You'll definitely be able to use those points.
I'm pretty sure my brother said he was a 375 miner, though, before he left Hellfire. So, I think fell iron actually gives you skill ups from mining all the way to 375.
Yeah, it should, And while leveling is not too bad, the real harshness comes in. Like right now, I'm 70 leveling it, so I've just got to run around finding, you know, ore. I have nothing. I mean, killing anything in Hellfire isn't going to do anything for me. So, if you're leveling it while you're leveling it, it shouldn't be too bad. But it's a big help to those that picked it up after cap.
Okay. Also, new enchanting recipe to turn void crystals into 2 large prismatic shards. For all of us who are clearing Kara for badges every week and just have shards laying around, void crystals laying around, this is a great thing. There are 2 new cooking recipes that use bear meat from level, I think they said 48 to 56 bears in like Fellwood and the Plaguelands.
Yeah, I think you can use the wolf meat too.
I'd have to look. But basically what it was is when you hit 250 cooking, if you didn't have fishing, you were fucked if you tried to get to 300, because you needed fishing to get to a 300 cooking. And now this will remove that requirement. Another big one, Arcanite Transmute no longer has a cooldown. So that'll help for people like enchanters who need their Arcanite rods while they're leveling enchanting. I'm not really sure who else really uses Arcanite that much.
I would say any warriors that have gone back for Thunder Fury, because it's still a pretty sick tanking weapon. But yeah, enchanters are pretty much it. You know, nobody wanted to use their cooldown before, because that's a primal might you could be making.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, you're a 5 gold cooldown versus a 100 gold cooldown. Let me think. You know, you'd do it for, like, friends, and that's about it.
Yep.
Or for your own alts, and that was it. I guess the only thing we forgot to mention for good is now nether vortexes are no longer bind on pickup, and they can also be bought for badges.
Yeah, and the primal nethers can also be sold, too.
Right, they're no longer bind on pickup as well. But accordingly, the price has dropped, whereas we used to be able to charge like 100 gold for our nethers, it's down to like 40. So.
On the auction house, it was about 75. Which shouldn't be too bad. I think auction house prices will stay about what they are. I think selling it with your crafting isn't going to be as profitable, just because the people who want the item have already got the mats for it. But I think the price will be about the same for those that don't want to go get the badges to work for it.
You see, I was going by trade channel too, so because I don't really go to the auction house, which is why I have money and you don't.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's pretty much all for the good. I mean, a lot of good changes. We talked for an hour about good changes. How's that for you? Now we're going to get into the mixed, and that has to do with the new Magister's Terrace. I have just a quick list of the good. It's a new 5-man, always a good thing. It's fairly short, and it's pretty fun for the most part.
Yeah, it's nice being able to run new content. There's some decent loot out of there, which is always increases the enjoyment value. It's a nice mix of mob abilities.
Mm-hmm. And it's got that that awesome cinematic you can watch where you actually like fly over the entire rest of the Sunwell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one's really cool.
Did you finally watch it?
No, I haven't. I checked. I mean, I've seen like half of it. I just ended it to go quest, but the half I saw was amazing. And let us not forget the Gundams.
Oh yeah, the big ass giant fucking robots, dude. They look those like anime sick things.
Oh, I love them. They've got they're bright green and black, and they've got big fucking like wings on the back of them.
They look like giant praying mantises to a degree.
Yeah, yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah, the big robots are awesome.
Yeah, they have like a bright green chain lightning they'll shoot at you and shit. It's a cool monster.
The bad. Some of the pulls are a bit hard for the expected gear level. Basically, the way I see it is the expected gear level should have been I'm running five mans and maybe heroics. Honestly, if like your run isn't at least halfway carry geared out on every person, it's going to be a hard run.
Yeah, there's groups in like tier 5 equivalent wiping in there, and part of that is just because it's a new dungeon. You know, you don't know what all the enemies do. You haven't done the pulls a million times, so you don't exactly know how to control them, the best place to fight them. I think that'll alleviate some of it. And it's a little hard to get into a group right now because of that, because everybody wants two mages, three mages in there.
Yeah, because it's very crowd control. However, the other reason that is there are a few six pulls in there. Actually, quite a few. There's like five or six, isn't there?
Yeah, you can skip a lot of them, a lot of the bigger ones. But the one at the end is definitely a nasty pull.
Yeah, there's a six pull right before the final boss, Kale. That group right there is going to destroy pickup groups left and right.
Oh, very much so. It's very similar to the seven pull in Shattered Halls, but they hit a lot harder. The Sun Fury Warlocks, I believe they're called in there, are they're harsh. They truck through healers.
Mm-hmm. And then there's fucking succubi.
Yeah, those ones hit pretty hard too. They go down quick, but most groups ignore them because they're retards and they think it's a warlock pet, which it is, but it's an elite. So it'll tear through your healer. It'll crowd control your tank and everything will run off. It'll crowd control your healer and everybody dies.
And we should mention that the succubi in there, their version of seduce is called like deadly seduction or something. And you take like 500 a tick almost while you're seduced.
Yeah.
And it doesn't break the seduce.
Yeah, they can be pretty nasty. Once you figured out everything, what the enemies do though, it's not too harsh until that final pull. But they hit a lot hard. I mean, they hit a lot harder than Shattered Halls mobs and Shadow Labs mobs. The difficulty's right between a five man and a heroic, but with that coupled with the lack of knowledge of the dungeon, people are just having a lot of trouble in there. And so for a while, it's going to be hard to get in groups as a hybrid DPS class.
Or a non-CC DPS class, like a warlock.
Exactly. Yeah. A warlock can do all right in there. They can banish the demons, but there's not a whole lot of them in there. So people are definitely going to be taking mages and hunters over mm-hmm. over other DPS classes.
Oh, yeah. Rogues. Rogues have, like, no place in there right now. Sap doesn't last long enough, and you can't
reapply.
Sap
and blind, but, yeah.
Another bad, the loot is a little bit unbalanced as far as some classes go. Some classes have really great loot in there. Other classes look at it and go, why do I bother?
Yeah, they have very strange loot tables. I haven't noticed anything for a Prot Warrior in there. There are two Epic Hunter chests off of Kale, both of which are going to be replaced by the badge chest very quickly. I mean, some of the loot is already obsolete. I mean, the epic chest in normal is not worth the time to farm normal for when you can get a superior one in heroic.
Mm-hmm. So. There's that one-handed axe that drops off the first boss. That's only like a 71 DPS axe or something like that. I guess it's okay for hunters because it's got the plus crit and plus attack power on it.
That's not bad.
That's about it.
Well, and it makes it a decent offhand for Fury Warriors or Shaman. It's a decent slow speed, the 2.6, I think. So it'll work well, but there's higher DPS options that are easily attainable, either through honor,
badges or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's really our mixed. because, well, no, I guess for mixed, we should also mention that one daily quest, the bombing run.
Yeah, that one can be trouble.
If you're going solo on the bombing run quest, which opens up in phase 2, and there's a lot of people doing it, expect to be flying to the Dead Scar about a billion times before you finally complete that quest.
Yeah, and it's not a short flight. I mean, you fly all the way to the southern end of the isle, which takes probably a minute.
More than that, it's like 2.
Yeah, it probably is more. And then you pass over the Dead Scar, which is really the Dead Scar because everything there is going to be killed. You fly over that 2 or 3 times and then another 2-minute flight back. So if you only get... I mean, the first time I did it solo today, I'd always done it in the group before, I only got like 2 mobs that whole flight.
Mm-hmm. And it took me about 5 flights tonight to do it by myself.
Yeah, and I think you need about 15 kills in there of different types.
17.
17? All right.
Yeah, the ones die really easy, like the Wrath Guards. One bomb drop kills them. But the other stuff that you have to kill, the Pit Lords and the Eredar Sorcerers, they each take 2 bomb drops to kill. And the way it flies, you sometimes fly past them a little fast to get 2 bombs on before you're out of range. So.
Yeah, and if you're flying behind a group...
Just forget it. You're not getting anything if you're flying behind a group. Nothing will be alive.
We ran it with 3 people the other day. And I believe he picked up another one while we were in flight. And he had mentioned that he was behind us on our first pass and didn't get shit.
Mm-hmm. But then on our second pass with that 4th person, everybody completed it that pass. So
yeah.
It's definitely do that one with the group. It'll make it a hell of a lot easier. And that's really all, I guess, for the mixed bags. And now we're going to get to the bad, which compared to the good is not a whole lot. There was a problem where... Now, one of the things is... And I'm going to put this as a thankfully. They don't make you fly the entire way from Ironforge to fucking the Isle.
Oh, yeah. That would be painful for Alliance. Because Horde gets it from Silvermoon City.
Right. Or the Undercity, if they were dumb. But, yeah. Ironforge is the closest Alliance city to there. And when you fly out of Ironforge, as soon as you go out the gates of Ironforge, it teleports you up to the island, basically, and then you finish out your flight up there. However, Arbs did say something to me earlier. Or no, it was Hodge, a rogue in our guild. He's like, yeah, that doesn't quite work on the way back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm sure that wasn't intentional. I know on the PTR, the first time I flew over there, I flew the whole flight. I have a feeling that most people are just going to hearth out of there anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get into phase 4, I believe, you'll have a portal to and from Shattrath to the Isle. So it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, but until then, he's like, yeah, I thought I could fly back and just teleport to Ironforge. He had to fly the whole way back to Ironforge. He said it was like a 10.5-minute flight or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's long. I mean, you're looking at almost the distance from Darnassus to Silithus, which is like a 13-minute flight.
Yeah.
And Ironforge to the Isle is pretty close.
So, I mean, that's the good part of the flight. The bad part was, and I don't know how Warlocks figured this out, but...
Well, I'm sure they self-buff themselves with goofy buffs and then die.
That's probably it. But then they told every other warlock on the server how to do it.
Yeah.
You know? But apparently there was a problem where if you got hit with Unending Breath, or if you had some other water-breathing buff, like a Potion of Water-Breathing or a Negran Cherry, once you went past the teleport part from Ironforge, you started getting fatigued because you were over fatigue water. And the problem is you would die before you landed from the fatigue. And you would literally die about 5 seconds before you would land. But you die too high up to get your body, so you'd have to take the res sickness. It was a pain. It was a huge
pain. Yeah, it was
pain.
Real nasty. Your corpse won't even show up on the map. And it caused a lot of problems, because if you're a hybrid or, you know, a warrior that has DPS and tank gear, all that gear in your bags got trashed too.
Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people forget about that. Like, the stuff in your bags also gets damaged. I think when I did it, I ended up with like a 20 gold repair bill, and I wear cloth. Okay. But it was 20 gold after I had run Magistar's Terrace too, and we were dying on that last fucking pull. And I had red gear. And to go with this, one of the bad things about the Isle is there is no place to repair until you do phase 3 of the daily quests.
Yeah.
That's just... who the hell came up with that idea?
Yeah, well, and I think it's a good idea that, you know, unlocking necessities ties in to taking over the Isle. It's a good, you know, lore type of thing is that they've only got one tiny camp. They don't have the resources to set up a full blacksmith station to repair your gear. But the problem with that is they added a new raid and a new 5-man there that everybody's going to be running right away and wiping in right away, that they're going to have to hurry back to repair. That should have been phase 1 is building up the anvil.
Yeah, that definitely. Not phase 3.
Yeah. But, and while take note, engineers can probably make a killing off of this. Drop a repair bot by one of the buildings. Tell people you dropped it. Tips would be appreciated. You could easily make 100 golden tips from everybody.
Oh, God. People will pay you. You're an engineer? If I give you 100 gold, will you drop the freaking bot? Yeah, sure. You know, I mean, I remember I said that one dude dropped it out there. And why did he drop it? It wasn't really out of the goodness of his heart, it turns out. It turns out he dropped it because he's a hunter. He was running Magistar's Terrace, and he needed to repair, sell off Greys, and get more bullets. So that's why he dropped it, but he just happened to mention in general, saying, I'm dropping a repair bot by the first building if anybody needs to use it. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, the no repairs, it's... Okay, like you said, it's kind of cool, like you have to open it up, but it should have been phase 1. I mean, the inn is the final stage, and so, you know, you don't get a mailbox until then. Great, I can deal without a mailbox, but I need a place to repair if I'm running a new instance that I don't know and that a lot of people don't know, and, you know, the room before the second boss just destroys me because somehow we end up pulling, like, all 4 groups at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that the Kara key removal was a bad thing, too. Only because, you know, I don't want people to think I'm being elitist here, but if you didn't take the time to do the Kara key quest, which is not that bad overall, it probably means you're not geared up enough to go in there anyway.
Yeah, because the way the Kara key works, save the half hour you have to spend starting the chain, you can complete it while you gear up in 5-mans. You know, you spend 30 minutes killing out in Deadwind Pass, fly to Dalaran, and you're now on the dungeon part. And all you have to do is you run dungeons. If you don't have the Kara key done, I'm just going to go ahead and say you are not geared enough to be in Kara. There's no way that you've ran enough 5-mans and gotten enough gear, unless you're a tailor and a caster, to have the gear to run Kara.
Mm-hmm. And I can understand for the people that are like, look, I'm on like my 5th alt, I don't feel like doing the quest again. But in those cases, they're getting run through Kara by their guild. That's a completely different story. Okay? I have a feeling this is going to end up being... Because I've even seen it. Have you seen in Trade Channel, like, looking for more for Kara showing up?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Kara pugs. And I think a lot of them can be successful, but... the problem being is that you're going to get, you know, any Joe Schmo off the street that's going to come in and attempt it. And if they happen to be one of your healers and one of your tanks,
you're fucked.
You fail. Yeah. And especially on fights... Aran is a DPS race. Prince is a DPS race.
Curator's a DPS race. If you don't kill him in a time limit, he just goes berserk and kills everybody.
Yeah, yeah, Curator you need the DPS for. So, I mean, Kara is definitely a gear check. I mean, it's the first step into raiding. It makes sure you know how to do your job, and you've got the gear. Granted, it's not that much of a gear curve, but until you're not going to be able to handle it in quest greens.
Until Curator, it's not that much of a gear check. Like, Curator is the gear check of Kara. That's when you find out if your DPS is good enough, if your healing is good enough, and if your tanks are good enough. But I have a feeling it's going to turn into what happened when they lowered the heroic key requirement to honored from revered, which is, you know, any Joe Schmo in greens is like, oh, I can do a heroic, I'll go. And then you find out they completely blow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It doesn't really affect a lot of people that are gilded. They, you know, just don't pug anymore. I stopped pugging pre-BC. I hated pugging. But there's a lot of people that log on a couple hours a day. They're good at the game. They have gear. They've been playing for a while. They just, you know, they play casually, and they pug everything, and they were in for a world of hurt when the heroics hit. I think they'll be able to pug Kara's now because everybody's going to want to pug it, and I think it will alleviate itself over time. The people in greens are going to go in and realize they're just getting their ass kicked.
Because that eventually did happen with the heroics, too. Like, it took like 2 months, but it finally happened.
Yeah, but for the next couple months, I think there's going to be a lot of Kara wipes. I may just sit at the graveyard dead and watch people and laugh at them.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's kind of the same thing. I said it, a lot of people disagreed with me, I think, but I said that the removal of the Tempest Keep and, or not the Tempest Keep, yeah, the removal of the Tempest Keep and Serpent Shrine attunements was also a bad thing. Because, not because you didn't have the gear. If you can kill Prince, you can kill, like, the first boss in fucking Serpent Shrine. But the idea behind that was, that look at what happened to Gruul and Magtheridon. People still did Gruul because he was easy after they nerfed him, because he was too hard when he first came out. But how many people have you seen kill Magtheridon before the changes to him this patch, after they removed those attunements?
Very few. I mean, when we first started BC, we started a guild aimed at 25-man raids before it launched. And when it launched, you know, we had a set plan how long it was going to take us to do the Kara quests, get geared. After we, you know, clear Kara, we're doing Gruul, we're doing Mag for 2 weeks to get everybody attuned, and we're done with him. That was going to be the end of Mag then, because his drops aren't that great. I mean, there's a few gems in there. I know some druids like some gear from there, but he's just not worth it to take 25 people in there to, you know, waste your time on the boss. And now that he drops a badge, a bag, and substantially more gold, and he's easier, you know, you're going to have people running the dungeon.
Hopefully. Because I want my champion in the Naru quest.
Yeah.
But now they've also removed the attunements for Black Temple and Mount Hyjal. And again, I say probably a bad thing. Because if you haven't beaten Vash and you haven't beaten Kale, granted, from what I've heard, you can actually pretty much, like, your tank can be in Kara gear for, like, the first boss of Mount Hyjal. You know, like, one of the guys in my brother's guild is also in Pinnacle, that really progressed guild on our server, to kill Illidan.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, yeah, you can tank him in Kara gear, the first boss. You know, your reward for killing Vash and Kale is the first couple bosses in Mount Hyjal.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how it works, because Vash is a hard fight. She's definitely not a huge roadblock, but she takes a lot longer to learn than the other Serpent Shrine bosses and the other Tempest Keep bosses. But Kale is a guild-breaking fight. This is Sathûn 2.0.
Actually, no, it's Vale 2.0, because remember, Vale was the guild killer in Vanilla WoW.
Yeah, Vale was a monster. But, you know, after doing all that work, all those repairables, all those pots you spent, you can go in and mop the floor with a couple bosses and, you know, get some good loot to start you out in Black Temple. And now it's, you know, they're going to be the new Void Reaver. You're going to go in, kill the loot pinatas, and, you know, skip Vash and Kale completely.
But then you're not going to be ready for the later bosses.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to run just like Void Reaver does. People just skip Vash and Kale for a couple months, farm up the tier 6 they want out of there, the tier 6 equivalent gear, and then start working through Black Temple and Hyjal. Granted, it's going to take them just as long as it took them to get to Kale and Vash in Serpent Shrine and TK, because they suck and they can't, you know, stick to their guns and kill Kale. But, you know, nobody's going to go back to Kale when there's a legendary bow and Sunwell they want, and they want to progress through the raids. They're just, you know, they're just going to skip over it, go kill Illidan, get their war glaives after months of sucking,
mm-hmm.
and move on to Sunwell or Wrath. Vash and Kale are going to become pretty obsolete unless you're in a guild that, you know, really wants to get the Hand of Adal title, which will be, I mean, that's going to be the new Leet Sauce tag in Wrath. When you hit 80, if you get a Hand of Adal in your group, that you know they know what they're doing.
Right, and remember, after you, they say you will not be able to get those titles once you pass level 70.
Yeah. Yeah, those and, will be locked out.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? I am going for the Hand of Adal title. Yeah, not only am I going for the Champion of Naru, I will get my Hand of Adal.
Yeah, I probably should have stayed with my guild for a couple more weeks and gotten Hand of Adal, but I really didn't feel like dealing with them, so now I'm a pirate. Yar.
Yeah, you know what though? I think we'll get there before Wrath of the Lich King. I think.
Yeah. Well, and another new change is that you no longer have to kill the mini bosses. You could say before killing Vash and Kale. So you can go in and pass up Alar, go right to Kale, and work on him instead of wasting time every week killing all the other three.
That's true. So it might be easier to learn those fights, you're saying, with that change?
Yeah, it could be.
Well, maybe not easier, but more time.
I think it'll balance out in the end. If you're working on Kale and you just don't need loot from the other guys anymore, because Kale is one that you're going to be farming the other three for a long time before you down Kale. I mean, some of the best guilds in, not the world, but, you know, best guilds on server take, you know, 2 months, a month to down Kale. So that's a lot of loot you're getting out of the other guys. So you're not going to need much from them anymore. So you can just skip right over them. You're going to have, if you're wiping on Kale, you're going to have a lot more trash to clear. You're going to be using your wipe preventing more, you know, Soulstone, the eyes. But, I think it will save time. It'll give you more attempts in, early
in the
on.
Learning phase, yeah.
Yeah, so you have 3 hours to raid. You can go right to Kale instead of wasting an hour and a half on the other bosses.
Yeah, okay, so, I mean, I'm not going to say that skipping the other bosses is good or bad, because it probably will balance itself out. But I'm not a big
trash
fan
isn't...
of removing the attunements.
Yeah, yeah. I think the attunements off of Serpent Shrine and TK were okay. Serpent Shrine wasn't hard to attune to. You need to kill Nightbane and Gruul.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Like, if you can't kill them, don't even step foot in Serpent Shrine. But the TK one, I mean, that's still a tough one to complete. I mean, you're still working on your TK attunement.
Well, because those heroics... Well, they did nerf these heroics a little bit, but at first, I mean, they were the hardest heroics out there.
Oh, they were nasty. Orcatraz was a bitch on normal, let alone completing an heroic.
And then Shattered Halls on Heroic.
Shattered Halls was a bitch on normal, and then to do it on Heroic in a time limit, I mean, this is the 45-minute Baron run in greens.
Yeah, on steroids.
Now it's not too bad. I think if they would have just nerfed the Heroics and left the attunements in place, it wouldn't be too bad. Black Temple and Hyjal I don't really agree with. I think Sunwell is not pinnacle of most people's raiding right now. There's probably one guild on every server, maybe two, that can access Sunwell.
Mm-hmm. I think in our case it's going to be on the Horde side, it'll be Pinnacle, definitely. Mm-hmm. And on the Alliance side, I think it might be Judgment who's going to be in there.
Yeah, we've got on Skywall, when I left, it was Reclaimed, had Illidan down, and they had him down for a long time. And Enema just got Illidan down like 2 weeks ago. So they're not ready for Sunwell.
At all.
Yeah, I mean, if they were a world first guild and they had just killed Illidan, they'd be ready for Sunwell.
Mm-hmm.
Killing him like almost like 8 months after the fact, that, you know, after him being in the game, they're not ready.
Right. And I should point out that Pinnacle, the Horde Guild on Lane, our server, is ranked, or was ranked, I'd have to look, but they got into the top 100 guilds in the U.S., which is no small feat.
Oh, no. There's a lot of guilds in the U.S., a lot.
Mm-hmm. And when I remember on Wowjutsu, they were, I think they capped out at like 95 is where they capped out when they killed Illidan, which means they were the 95th guild in the U.S. to kill Illidan. That's not something to sneeze at, which goes to show that Pinnacle works. Okay, I have a lot of respect for the Pinnacle guys, and apparently they're not assholes either, so that's also another reason why I respect them. But I think that's enough ranting on the attunements. I just don't feel that if you can't kill Vash and Kale, you really shouldn't be rewarded with going in and getting the free loot off the other bosses on the, you know, in Hajjal and Black Temple. Because yeah, that's supposed to be your reward for being able to kill these two bosses. Your reward is, oh my god, these bosses sucked. Oh my god, these bosses are easy.
Yeah.
And now,
it's definitely a bad change.
Yeah. And now, the big one, the combat log changes.
Oh, God.
We could probably go on for about 5 hours on how bad this combat log is, but I don't want to go that long. Let's just say that the idea behind it is good. They basically ripped off Greyhoof's simple combat log, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, simple combat log did it. It did it right. It worked fine. There was no reason to fuck with it. And fine Blizzard fashion, they took a mod that was out there, tried to implement it, and did it terribly.
But meanwhile, they took the Ace 2 options menus that a lot of Ace 2 mods have been using and actually implemented it right.
Yeah, yeah. They've got to have a genius and a retard teamed up on the UI.
And the retard got the combat log.
Yeah, it's... I don't understand how Blizzard works. I mean, they're obviously doing something right. WoW is very popular. It's a great game. But they have some Down syndrome babies in the mix.
We had to hire the Mongoloids.
Yeah, they're bad.
I mean, all right, first off, there's now 3 tabs in your combat log. When you click on your little combat log tab on your chat window, there's going to be 3 tabs underneath it. One says self, one says everything, and one says what's happened to me. Self, I guess, is supposed to be like showing you, I guess, what buff, like your self buffing and what you have done to other enemies.
Yeah, probably.
Everything picks up shit from like half the zone away. I think I was in the Sunwell Isle and I was picking up shit in Ironforge.
Yeah, it's horrible. Like, they gave us categories and then the categories don't work. Self picks up everything and it picks it up from an obnoxious distance. I was out, I mean, I could be out at the Throne of Kil'jaeden doing the dailies and see somebody fucking fort themselves in Honor Hold.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea what the self, what the tabs do, because every tab picks up the same shit.
Right. Actually, no, I think the what's happened to me actually doesn't, but that I think is the only tab that's working.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't really fuck with the combat log because I don't like to see it. And the other problem is every time you click a tab, you see that green bar go across as it recaches everything in the past 5 minutes that the combat log has picked up.
Yeah, and when it's catching everything in the zone, that's a lot of shit.
And a lot of people are, even people with much better computers than me, I just have my frame rate freeze for like 5 seconds while it's doing it. Other people are having the frame rate stutters, but they actually have like real computers, and mine is not, you know, I don't have a real video card. But what happens is when you zone, it recaches the last 5 minutes of everything. And God forbid you zone into a city.
Yeah, her thing is hell.
Oh my god. Like, you zone into a city and you click your combat log and you just watch it and it's just spamming you forever. And you're
They should have just put gold ads in the combat log.
Should have put what?
It would have, you know, helped out.
No, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, they should have just put gold ads in the combat log. Like, would have taken them out of general chat. They don't need to paste it there now. We all get it in our combat logs every time we zone.
I mean, it's pretty bad. The idea was to make the combat log better. I understand that. But the monkeys were the ones that programmed it. And it's just not working.
And the problem, I mean, it's a great idea. It's just, it's not even bad implementation. It's just broken implementation.
Mm-hmm.
Simple combat log did it fine. There was no reason to change it. I was happy with the old combat log. I saw no problem with it. It was still simple. It's, I did this to this mob. Things weren't color-coded. The color-coding's nice. But, I mean, all of that's alleviated with a simple add-on. And with the tabs in there, I know I personally shrink my chat box because I don't like it taking up all of my screen. I like a very simple, minimalistic UI. And with the tabs on top and then the tabs in my combat log, I only see like two lines of combat, so it's of no use to me anymore.
So all you're seeing is like two lines going by really fast.
Exactly. It's horrible.
It's just... I'm just trying to think of what they were thinking when they wanted it to cache for the last 5 minutes.
I mean, I'm sure it was just because, you know, I died in a raid, I release, it zones me, I don't want to, you know, and then I want to find out how my tank died or how I died, so I roll through my combat log and find, you know, the last thing that hit me. And I don't want to lose that when I zone, but the combat log never did that before.
Exactly.
In your log. I don't know why they had changed the way it worked completely. They should have just stuck with the old framework and reworked the output and reworked the colors.
Exactly. Because now if you, let's say you release and you run back in, now you're picking up shit as you're going back to the raid or the instance. And you won't be able to tell what the hell happened to you anyway, because by the time it scrolls through the last 5 minutes, the stuff that happened to you on your run back to the instance is, you know, overwritten all the other stuff that was important to you.
Yeah, it's horrible. And certain things are broken. They, you know, they added things to the combat log that shouldn't be there. Hunter traps now show up in the combat log, and there's already an add-on out that when you're in arenas and a hunter lays a trap, it will warn you in big letters on your screen that there's a hunter trap out. And things are missing. Void Weaver's arcane orbs don't show up, so all of the boss mods for Void Weaver are broken. And now that he no longer turns towards you when he casts, you just have to stand there and watch the air, which is a problem because not all the orbs show up all the time. I've had orbs explode that I didn't see. I knew they were coming because of the combat log, but I never saw the orb fly. I just saw the explosion when it hit. So it's going to cause lots of problems with the combat log changes until they fix it.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And it, I mean, I know that they were touting this as like the new and improved combat log, and I know they wanted to get this patch out, you know, sometime before Wrath of the Lich King came out, but they probably could have stood to do a couple more weeks of testing on that thing. Because one of the UI guys actually posted what was supposed to be a script that would stop it from caching everything. He said, click your everything tab and then type in this script. The script didn't work.
Yeah. From what I hear, the post got deleted too, right?
Yeah, because it didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so FUBAR. I'm going to hire a goddamn clerk to just write shit down as I play.
Yeah.
It'd be more useful.
Yeah, I mean, it really is this bad. I mean, and you're seeing there are tons of threads on the general forums about how bad the combat log is. I think they've started deleting them.
Yeah. It's definitely put people in a rage. It's a really bad change.
And it's more the people that are getting the frame rate stutters that are complaining than anything else.
Yeah, that's a game-breaking change. I mean, Hearthing into Cities has always been harsh on, you know, people that are running min specs. And now with the additional shit that the computer has to process, it's just going to be hell to hurt into any city. Mm-hmm. Especially Shat.
Yeah, where you've got Horde and Alliance together. You know, let's take the entire population of Orgrimmar and the entire population of Ironforge and put them together. No, that's not why we get 3 frames a second in Shat, is it?
No, that can't be it. Plus moving elevators and higher res graphics? No.
And people falling off the elevators and dying? Yeah. Well, they better not put an
elevator. God, I hope there aren't elevators in Talaran. I'm going to fucking punch somebody if there are.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the combat log really is the worst part about this patch. Overall, this has been a good patch, though.
Yeah, you know. It's definitely one of their best as far as pros and cons go.
Mm-hmm. I think 2.3 came out pretty easily, too.
Yeah, 2.3 was very easy. I don't think there was as much that I really enjoyed in 2.3. There were some nice changes, but it wasn't as massive as this. I mean, this has tons of new content. This could have been a terrible patch. It could have been
1.9 all over again.
Yes, it could have been nasty.
But thankfully, they seem to have learned. And, you know, we had mentioned this last night, but we didn't really mention it today, is, you know, this is kind of like 1.9 in the fact that it is a world event with the Sunwell area, and you having to do stuff and your progression, and I believe you said it was AQ40 or it was AQ done right.
Yeah, very much so. I think this is how world events should go. Right, turn-ins are cool. Some people can make a killing off of them, but it, you know, things just didn't work. When something like when you build up for months and one thing opens and that's the big opening, killing servers. I think a progressive unlocking is the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you won't have, okay, the gates are about to open, everybody go to Silithus.
Oh, well, not everybody go to Silithus. The first one that opened, everybody logged off their server, created level 1 alts, were asking for summons. I mean, you had the entire WoW population of the US in one server, Silithus. That doesn't work.
Mm-mm. Oh, even on Lane when it opened up, dude, it was like, and we weren't the first to open it. We were about, you know, halfway through all the servers that did it. And I was flying to Silithus. And I had to fly to Silithus like 8 times because I would get halfway through Darkshore and all of a sudden, world server down. Get back up. Okay, start flying again, world server down. Oh, my God. Finally, somebody summoned me down there.
Yeah, it was bad.
It's horrible. It was the worst patch ever for any game. I don't care how bad the game is. That was the worst patch ever. But this one has been pretty good overall. I'm fairly happy with this patch. I wish that there were more patches that came out this smooth in the overall look of it. With so much more good than bad.
Yeah, I think Blizzard's learning. You know, this is their first, like, real MMO. I mean, they had Diablo, but this is the first, you know, EverQuest type MMO that they've put out. So, I mean, they're learning. They've done a lot right, but I think things are definitely starting to clear up. They're understanding that, you know, servers can only take so much. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of players, and WoW has like 10 million players, so they've got to get things right the first time, or else it's just going to cause hell.
Mm-hmm.
They're understanding, and you notice, they're putting through more testing.
Right, and you notice, though, for Wrath of the Lich King, they learned from what happened with Burning Crusade. Instead of having one zone where everybody's going to go, there's 2 zones to choose from.
Yeah, well, and as far as I know, Horde starts somewhere and Alliance starts somewhere.
No, I think both can go to each one if they want.
I could have sworn a Horde started on the east and the Alliance started on the west, and you meet in the middle as you go. Because on a PvP server, you know, when you first get to Outland, all the mobs are a lot stronger than the ones that were in Azeroth. So dealing with more powerful mobs and on a PvP server, people trying to kill each other, yeah, it probably cause a lot of problems. And when you're all fighting for the same mobs, if I'm on a PvP server and he tagged my mob, I'm gonna kill him. So it was probably hell.
That's what I've done. I've actually corpse camped people for tagging my mobs. And I don't corpse camp people much.
Yeah, I mean, I've only got like a level 28 on a PvP server, and it's a paladin. And I've already just been just annoying people because, you know, they bugged me, something happened, they attack my mob, or they come up and steal my node, and they die. Lots.
Yeah, I don't advocate corpse camping. I really don't. I think it's very childish. But I also don't advocate, you know, I'm going after that mob, and you still tagged him, and then tagged him with like a level 1 arcane shot, so that, you know, I did more damage, so I got the aggro. Fuck you, I'm killing you. And then I'm gonna sit over top of your body until you log off.
Yep.
I've even done that on lane, believe it or not. I corpse camp somebody on lane. And that's a PvE server. How crack is that? But that was a different story. That was a dude, I was on my little level 16 warlock, and I walk into Thessalmar, and all my quest givers are dead. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I hear shots coming from the inn, so I go in there, and there's like this hunter killing people in the inn. So I'm like, okay, motherfucker, you have just done it. Logged off my warlock, logged in my mage, went there. Turns out he's like a level 45 hunter.
Oh, he was in for some pain.
I was level 70, and I had like 800 plus damage at the time. That boy finally got away from me after like a half hour and was able to hearth. But he never just sat there as a ghost and let his PvP flag go off. Which he could have done because it's a PvE server. But I was like, motherfucker, if you want to sit there and try to pretend like this is a PvP server, because on my PvP servers, don't ever go to like Astronar. Because it's constantly fucking... Everybody's dead and there's 80 horde there. You know, but if you want to pretend this is a PvP server, I'm going to show you what we do on a PvP server. And eventually he got far enough away that he could hearth before I could hit him.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just how it goes. So, all right, I think this has been a good show.
Yeah, I think we covered a lot. A lot of good info. They missed out on my pro tips, but that, you know, that's what those bitches get for listening to the first one.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That's what we get for not listening to the first one. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I heard the pro tip, so.
Right. I think we did cover a lot of good information in here. We didn't go off on as many tangents as we did last night.
No.
Although I think our tangents were pretty good.
Yeah, they were... some hilarity ensued,
mm-hmm.
But especially with a 3-hour download for somebody isn't going to be fun.
Yeah, with the 85-gigabyte podcast. What the fuck is this?
Yep.
Of course, they did miss out on Mick Chokes on Dick.
Yeah, that's going to be an inside joke now, guys. I'm sorry.
It really is, and I actually got on vent, and I was like, hey, Mick Chokes on Dick. He's like, hey, what's up? So, anyway... thanks for listening, Josh. Thanks for being here.
Anytime.
It was a good show. I kind of like having guests every now and then.
It definitely livens it up a bit.
Yeah, it makes me sound less like a monotone dick. Just a little less, though. Not entirely less. So, yeah. There we go. All right, guys. Remember, you can always email me, UncleThursday@gmail.com. You can visit the webpage, which is worldofpodcast.blogspot.com. I just got that warning again, so we're going to have to stop real soon. Remember, you can go to the forums by going to the webpage that does load slow, that will load faster when I eventually get my own server. Click on the forums link. If you're going to register for the forums, please send me an email. So that I know who the hell you are. All right, and with that, we're just going to say later. Talk to you guys soon. Later a few minutes ago, but a few seconds ago, I guess, according to you guys, but we just found something awesome on Facebook.
very awesome. I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
We're actually like not going to sleep when we should be because we have work in the morning. But if you're on Facebook, there's an application that you can add to your Facebook account called iPlayWOW. Oh, only two burps. Awesome. And this thing is just rocks.
Yeah, you can do a lot with it. And you can add all your characters from the armory. You can change their icons to whichever WoW form icon you want, or a custom tier 6 icon.
I think you can actually make your own icon.
Yeah, I think you can upload your own too. But it lists your spec, your class, level, server, your guild. You can search for people in your guild that are on Facebook, people on your server that are on Facebook. And there's really just too much to describe here. It's really cool.
Yeah, and one of the really nice things about it, though, too, as I'm looking through everything, you can order your characters how you want them. If you have a title, it'll start out on the left-hand side, but if you move it to the right-hand of your Facebook, it'll put your title. So, like, my druid says Sergeant, and my druid's name. When my mage has her Hand of a Doll and everything else like that, it'll show that. That's really awesome. And you can upload pictures to, you can actually click on the character's name, and then each character has their own profile with a wall that people can write on if they know you, and you can upload pictures, although the picture upload seems to be a bit wonky right now. Shows your arena teams. This thing fucking rocks. So if you're on Facebook, get iPlayWOW. And if you're also on Facebook, join my fucking podcasts group. That's an order. So, now we're really going to sign off. Thanks for listening. We'll see you later.
See ya.